Hello all, and welcome to episode number 10 of Nerds Talk Movies, the Nerd Stash's podcast for all movie and TV news. I'm your host, Johnny Reynolds, and joining me, as always, is Taylor Cole. Taylor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I think we just had a really good episode this week of Nerds Talk Movies, so I'm excited to record another one.
Yes, same here. Before we get to that, I do have my standard bit of housekeeping to go over. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Nerdstash Show, which is also good for our video game podcast. Come hang out with us on Discord at the Nerdstash community, where we've got lots of great people chatting about tons of interesting things and streaming games. Please visit our site, thenerdstash.com. We've got wonderful writers churning out daily news, reviews, and opinion pieces. Also, please follow this podcast on whatever your platform of choice is. With all that being said, let's get on with the show. So, Taylor, what have you been watching this week?
I've been on Netflix a lot this week. I've been writing a lot, so on the side, I like something to listen to, or, you know, kind of like half watch. So, I was watching The Walking Dead. I loved the show back in the day. I kind of fell out after the Negan story started, just because it got kind of boring. I'm on season 3 now with the governor stuff, and it's really, really good.
Season 3, yeah, I fell off of it too, but season 3 was the high point, I feel like.
Jon Bernthal's Shane is really interesting to me, because he does so many things that are terrible and, like, detestable, but you find yourself, especially at the end of his story in season 2, really wanting him to get out of his own head. You know what I mean? You're wanting that relationship with him and Rick to not end where it ends. And that's crazy that he was that well-written and that well-acted. And on the other side, you have Lori, who Sarah Wayne Collies, I think that's her name, plays her. She does a good job, but the writing for that character is so bad.
It's not good.
It is one of the worst characters, I think, in the history of television.
Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't like her. I am really glad that Jon Bernthal was able to like continue after The Walking Dead and do some really interesting stuff. Like him as Frank Castle on Daredevil.
You see some of those mannerisms, by
fantastic.
The way.
Fantastic. Yeah, you do.
The like head moving and let me tell you something, man, all that stuff, it kind of goes to the Punisher. Which is kind of like, okay, I'm good with that. Him leaving The Walking Dead. I've also been watching The Last Dance on Netflix. I never watched it when it was coming out. I know it was a big deal. But for people who don't know what that is, it's like a Chicago Bulls documentary when they're winning all those championships and their last year winning the championships. It's really fun to kind of see that journey, what actually happened, and just the mindset of Michael Jordan. It's really compelling to me.
Yeah, I remember when that one got released. My older brother is a huge basketball fan, so he was like really excited to watch that when it got released.
And there's just stories of this dude that he's so competitive. He's just playing with security guards in the locker room. I think it's quarters or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like double or nothing. And he's losing to him. You can tell like in his face, he's that mad at this small game. As
wow.
Just goes to show. What about
That's
you,
interesting.
Man?
Also, on the Netflix, I watched The Old Guard. I'm a little bit late to it. It came out about a month ago, both Charlize Theron, based off of an Image comic. I really enjoyed it. Lots of really cool, like sleek, quick gunplay action sequences that I really enjoyed. A bit too heavy on the sequel bait at the end, though. It was just like, yeah, we're really, really, really going to make another one of these. Here are all of these dangling threads, so come back and watch a second one. Which I'm totally cool for. It was a pretty good movie. I didn't like love it, but you know, I was very entertained for 2 hours, which it did its job.
I feel like the other big baiting. Sorry, I was gonna say I think sequel baiting is really a fine line. Because take something like Into the Spider-Verse, there is some sequel baiting there, but it's done in a way where it's like, okay, if we never get a second one, that's okay. Because the first one, it ends. But it leaves just enough to where you can have that sequel.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like you said, some movies just like throw it in your face. Like, we want a part two. Please give it to us.
Yeah, a little tease is fine. just like a little taste of like where it could possibly go. But I felt like the Old Guard just like really kind of not the worst sequel baiting that I've ever seen. That's probably the Super Mario Brothers movie. I always think of that as like the worst sequel bait I've ever seen. So this wasn't, you know, that level of annoying, but it was still kind of like, okay, yeah, I get it. You want to make a second one. Don't keep saying
what that. Annoys me so much about the Super Mario Brothers one is that they thought they were going to get a sequel.
They thought they did all a great that job.
They went through all the production issues. I believe Dennis Hopper. Was it Dennis Hopper?
Yeah, he's the villain.
No, not Dennis Hopper. The dude who plays Mario. Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins.
I believe
he
almost died a few times during the production. That's how unsafe it was. And yeah. They were like, no, we can get a sequel out of this. What?
Yeah. I don't want to go off on a big tangent, but there are a ton of just insane behind-the-scenes stories of Super Mario Brothers movie production that, if you haven't looked up, definitely go look it up. It is wild. But the other big thing that I've been watching is Vikings on Hulu. And I've been told to watch this show for years because I loved Game of Thrones so much. Just because it has like really gritty kind of close quarters combat. I mean, it doesn't have the budget of Game of Thrones and the battles aren't quite as big. But I am really, really enjoying it. I think that in some instances, its pacing is a little bit off. I think just due to it trying to be so historically accurate, there are time jumps. I'm only on season two, and there's a 4-year time jump at the beginning of the second episode, and there are a couple of small ones in the first season too. But other than that, I'm really, really, really liking it. The main actor, whose name escapes me right now, he's really good as Ragnar Lothbrok. And yeah, like just great performances. I'm just getting really into like all kinds of Norse stories. I feel like this show is really going to make me dive down the Norse rabbit hole. But
that's
really, really enjoying. Yeah,
when that game came out.
Yeah, God of War got me really interested in looking up the mythology and like all the gods of the Norse era. And I feel like this one is going to make me really get into like looking up to like Scandinavian history and like actual Norsemen, because I know that the character, I don't know how historically accurate it is because I haven't researched it because I don't want any spoilers, but I know that the main characters were real Vikings. Like Ragnar was a real Viking king. So I'm very, very interested to take that journey and to look up a lot of more history of Viking culture. Thing. I'm very, very excited. But moving on from that, let's get to our story of the week, which is a very interesting one in that Mulan, live-action Mulan, is going to Disney Plus and will cost $30 on the service. So in an earnings call, Disney CEO Bob Chapek said that this movie won't reflect how Disney releases movies going forward. We have a quote here. He said, "We're looking at Mulan as a one-off as opposed to saying there's some new business windowing model that we're looking at." Insider also confirmed that if you pay $30 for Mulan, it isn't a one-time rental. You quote-unquote own the movie until you stop subscribing to Disney Plus. So if you think of it like PlayStation Plus subscribers, they pay, you know, $60 or whatever for a whole year. You get free games every month. You get to keep those games, but as soon as you stop subscribing to PlayStation Plus, you lose access to those games. So similar to Disney Plus with Mulan, you'll be able to watch Mulan for as long as you are subscribing to Disney Plus. So this is kind of a loaded story. So first off, first question, Taylor, do you think that Mulan will succeed on Disney Plus? And if so, do you think that Disney could change their minds on how they release movies?
Well, first off, money talks, right?
Yes, of course.
So if this does succeed in some way, Disney is going to try to do this later. It's just logically that's how it's going to go down. So, but going back to the first thing you asked, do I think it will succeed? Honestly, I think it will, even though there's a lot of backlash against this. What about you?
Oh, yeah, there's definite backlash against this. I also think it will succeed because it is Disney, and a lot of people were really excited to see Mulan. I was very excited to see it. A lot of their live-action remakes, especially Lion King comes to mind, were just like, didn't really have a lot of, I guess I would say, soul to it. You know, they were just doing a live action remake because they just kept being successful. This one did look like it was going to be a bit different, be a bit more historically accurate to the real story. So I was really excited to see it. And I 100% agree with you. Money talks. You know, they're looking at it as a one-off, as opposed to saying that there's some new business model that they're looking at. I don't really believe that, because if this is successful, which we both think that it will be, it could definitely lead to them doing movies like this in the future. But the big question, and the one that everyone is really talking about this week, is are you willing to pay $30 to see a movie at home?
See, this is a difficult question because, again, there's a lot of backlash against it because a lot of people like going to the theaters and all that.
Right.
Personally, I don't, I don't mind, and here's why. Now, if this was a $60 thing or a $50, I might think differently. But $30, if I can get a friend to come by, or I can split it with my brother, who I'm roommates with, then we can see the movie for $30. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. When this news first broke, I thought to myself, there is no way that I'm going to pay $30 to watch Mulan. But then I thought, well, wait, if I can just, you know, get a couple of friends over, like my roommate, you know, watches everything. He's a huge film buff. So if we get one or two other friends to come over, we chip in to the point where we're paying less than the price of a ticket to go see it in theaters. I know it's not the same experience, but I don't need to see every movie in theaters. And as much as I would have wanted to go see Mulan in theaters, it's not like, you know, a Marvel movie for me, or like a horror movie. Like, I think those two types of movies, that spectacle and that shock and awe with horror, those are the funnest types of movies to see with an audience. But like I was saying, and like you were saying as well, if we can get a couple people to pitch in and then just rent it ourselves, then yeah, I would definitely do this. And there are also certain movies that have been delayed that I'm waiting to see that I would also do this for. So, you know, we'll just have to see if this is successful and if other studios will follow suit.
Yeah, see, the other thing too is $30 too much for you? Or do you think it should be $20?
Yeah, $30 does seem a bit much. I think Trolls World Tour, when the pandemic first started, it launched at $20. $30 does seem a bit much, but, you know, also it's Disney. And Disney is of course, going to, you know, step it up a bit more than other studios, because I feel like they think that they can. And I know that during this pandemic, you know, some of their other outlets, like their theme parks and their cruises, and then obviously maybe like merchandising and, you know, releasing movies in theaters, all of that has definitely taken a dive. So they're trying to look at any way to sort of recuperate those losses, even though it's Disney. They're never going to run out of money. But there's, you know, they're still going to be considering, you know, different ways to make more. So that's why I think it goes with $30 instead of $20.
Yeah.
But, and also we have to consider that this is Disney, and there are lots of families that would be wanting to go see Mulan. So you have to look at the pricing of that way, where if like one or, you know, both parents paid tickets to see, for like a group of kids or their children to go see it, and then they have to deal with concessions, this $30 probably doesn't seem like that much to them. But you know, then you have to consider also that we're in the midst of a pandemic and unemployment rates are, you know, keep growing higher. So, you know, there's a lot of things to consider with this situation.
That's a very good point as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see why also people have issues with it. It's just me personally with my situation, I'm just like, well, I can split it and I could just see the movie whenever from the comfort of my own home. Well, that's a win for me. But I can see why other people it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it all, you know, comes down to your personal situation. I think since I still do have Disney Plus, I probably will rent this. I'll just, you know, see if any of my friends, you know, want to pitch in, because like I said, I wouldn't pay $30 just for a movie, even if it was something that I've been really, really looking forward to, like The New Mutants, which I'm looking forward to more than Mulan, that keeps getting pushed back. Even then, I still wouldn't pay $30 just to be able to finally see it, even though I've been waiting for what feels like forever.
The only good thing really out of it is it's not a one-time deal, in my opinion. If it was like a one-time deal and it's $30, that is a complete shutdown for me. Like, nah, that's a lot of money. If it was by myself, me spending $30, I would like to be able to see that movie as many times as I want.
Yeah, that would be a terrible deal. But we'll move on from that. We'll get to the rest of our movie news. First story being that John Wick 5 is happening, and Keanu Reeves is to shoot both the fourth and fifth entries back to back. So this comes from Deadline, and Lionsgate CEO John Feltheimer said in an earnings call, we have a quote, "We're also busy preparing scripts for the next two installments of our John Wick action franchise, with John Wick 4 slated to hit theaters Memorial Day weekend 2022. We hope to shoot both John Wick 4 and 5 back-to-back when Keanu becomes available early next year." So, Taylor, do you think it's smart to shoot these movies back-to-back?
Yeah, I kind of do. I was kind of surprised John Wick 5 is happening. I still need to see John Wick 3.
But, I also still need to see John Wick 3. I really like the first two, though.
So, I mean, really, I'm just excited to see the fact this franchise continuing, because parts 1 and 2 were so good. And this kind of changed the way action scenes are shot for a lot of movies. So, it's good to see a movie that kind of came out a few years ago. Everybody was kind of like, do you guys see this movie? It's called John Wick. It's amazing. And fast forward years later, we're millions of dollars put into this franchise, and it's so popular.
Yeah, and it's sort of led to our current, you know, Keanu Reeves renaissance that we're all sort of in. It kicked off with the first John Wick.
I mean, did we get Bill and Ted 3?
Yeah, exactly.
John Wick 1, 2, and 3 doesn't happen and be that successful.
Yeah, exactly. Deadline, it is very successful. Deadline also reports all three movies have made $584.2 million, which is pretty good. And we also have that TV series about the Continental, which is currently being worked on.
Especially when you consider, I don't think it costs too much to make the first one.
Probably not. Any of them.
I can't imagine why it would cost so much.
There's probably not a whole lot of, like, I mean, I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem like there was a whole lot of CGI effects in there. It's all, like, practical and, like, gunplay. So it doesn't seem like it would take that much to make. But, yeah, we'll be getting John Wick 4 and 5. Keanu Reeves is currently shooting The Matrix 4. And, Deadline also noted that he has previously done this for Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions. Those were shot back-to-back. And shooting movies back-to-back is
now
just...
Now, that didn't work.
That didn't work for other reasons, but it is a more cost-effective way to make movies. Tons of studios have done it in the past.
Infinity
New
War.
New Line Cinema did it with Lord of the Rings. Avengers did it. The second and third Back to the Future movies were filmed back to back. So it is definitely a cost effective way to make movies if you have, you know, it's probably just harder to plan for obvious reasons.
Yeah, the biggest problem with this is, let's say John Wick 4 has a big problem with audiences. They don't like something in it. They can't really change it.
No, they can't.
Because it's already been filmed. It's ready to go. So you're stuck with your plan for these next two movies. So let's hope it's written well and executed well.
Yes, let's. And it at least looks like we have plenty of time to catch up and watch the third movie, since the fourth isn't going to be coming out till Memorial Day weekend 2022. So we've got time. But we'll move on to our next story, which is a bit of a news roundup for Star Trek movies. We've got a couple of new pieces to talk about. One is that the Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie, which I feel like we've been talking about for a very long time. He actually will not direct the Star Trek movie. And this also comes from Deadline. He has dropped out of that potential project. That said, we may know what the plot would have been about. So here's a quote from the report. Tarantino dropped out as director, but the project is still viable based on an episode of the classic Star Trek series that takes place largely earthbound in a 30s gangster setting. So a lot of people are saying this sounds a lot like an episode from Star Trek, the original series, where the Enterprise crew visits a planet that closely resembles the gangster culture of the 1920s. And even though Tarantino dropped out, it seems that this potential movie is still on the table for Paramount. So, Taylor, what do you think of a Star Trek movie set in a gangster setting?
How long has it been since Tarantino was attached to this? At least 2 years, right?
At least two, but I believe in the report
it tells you 2017.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely more.
So, at least 2018. I think it was in the Deadline report, it was 2017, but whatever. Let's say 2.5 years. Everybody asks one question. What would this movie look like? And then you read this and you go, holy crap, that's how he was going to get around it. All the space and sci-fi stuff and make his Tarantino-esque movie. And it's just crazy that he found a loophole.
Yeah, because honestly, I couldn't have imagined what a standard Star Trek movie, you know, with space exploration would have been in Tarantino's hands.
What sucks is they said that this is still potentially happening with a new director. I kind of don't want to see it with another director. This is so weirdly out there. It's Tarantino's project or nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. This is clearly the most like Tarantino-esque Star Trek movie that could ever be. And with him dropping out, it just seems weird that they would want to pursue that, you know, with gangsters and crime and all of that without Tarantino.
That's just crazy, man, that he found this obscure episode. I'm not sure how popular that episode was with people who've seen the show. I never did. But for him to pick that out, it's like, let's make a movie about this. It's very clever on his part.
Yeah, it's strange. I never watched the original series either. I was never into Star Trek. I've actually only seen like the newest movies, which are pretty good.
You're just upset.
Well, I know. I just had that thought in my head, and I was like, yeah. Any, like, diehard Star Trek fans, if you're listening,
neither of us had a very strong opinion on the movie theater thing and Mulan, and now this. We're not going to be able to have another episode now.
It's not that I don't like Star Trek. I've just, you know, never gone back and watched it, and then I only saw the new movies when they were coming out. But speaking of the new movies, we have another report here about Star Trek, which is that reports say that Noah Hawley's upcoming Star Trek movie won't involve the Kelvin timeline cast, that is to say, the cast from the J.J. Abrams movies. So it looks like plans have been paused on that project because it is said that Hawley wants a completely new cast for his film, and it could be about a deadly virus. That is pretty much all we know about the basic plot. But Noah Hawley, if you're unfamiliar with him, he's worked primarily in TV. He created and wrote for the Fargo TV series, and he also created and wrote for the Legion TV series. And he made his, I believe, directorial debut with an indie movie called Lucy in the Sky, which was a space movie, and it I don't think it did very well. It came out last year, and it had Natalie Portman and Jon Hamm in it. But that's who Noah Hawley is. This is pretty much all the news we have about it, because if he's looking for a completely new cast, it'll probably be a long time before we hear anything else about it.
Very good point. It does, in a way, suck, because like you, I was a fan of the newer movies. I know a lot of Star Trek fans weren't, but I found them. I know they're not, the franchise isn't really supposed to be, but they were very good action adventure kind of movies.
Right.
And not just the way they look, but I think the story as well. Everybody knew about the whole Khan thing, but I thought Benedict Cumberbatch did a fantastic job. Star Trek Beyond was pretty decent, considering, you know, I believe J.J. Abrams left.
I think he served as producer, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah, I think I was up to Simon Pegg to write it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, he co-wrote it, yeah.
So it was pretty good considering everything there, too. But it sucks to see that cast go, but also kind of feels natural because it's been so long.
Yeah, I honestly don't even remember Star Trek Beyond that well. I remember enjoying it, and I remember, like, the best part of that movie is when they sort of used that Beastie Boys song to destroy a bunch of enemy ships. I was like, that's really cool. But the Deadline article that we have here states that if they had sort of continued with this cast, at one point there were talks that Chris Hemsworth would come back to play Chris Pine's father in a sort of time travel narrative, because he plays his father in the very first movie before he ever became Thor. He plays him and he dies in the opening scene. So it would have been kind of fun to see him return now that he's such a big star.
It would have been to sort of return
to the franchise that sort of gave him his leg up, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that didn't happen either. That seemed like a very crazy idea for a story that, honestly, just as crazy as making an entire story around 1920 gangsters on another planet.
Apparently Star Trek just can go in whatever direction you can ever imagine.
But yeah, it's good to see this franchise possibly going in a new direction. Let this franchise just stand on its own. People liked it. If they hated it, they don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on. To a new director news. Marvel finds a new director for Captain Marvel 2. So this also comes from Deadline.
You're going to hear that a lot.
Yes, you are. We've got a lot of Deadline stories to talk about. Nia DaCosta. Or DaCosta, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. But she will replace Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who directed the first Captain Marvel. Now, while Nia DaCosta's resume isn't particularly long, she did direct the indie film Little Woods, which sort of put her on the map, and she is directing, or did direct, the upcoming Candyman reboot, which I am very excited. I'm a big fan of the original Candyman, and the trailer for the reboot looks fantastic. So I'm really excited to see what she brings there, as well as what she brings to Captain Marvel 2. I find it a bit strange that Boden and Fleck aren't returning, considering that Captain Marvel made over $1 billion. And I'm not sure why they're not returning. Disney and Marvel Studios both declined to comment, at least in the Deadline article. I don't think they've commented anywhere else. But, yeah. New director for Captain Marvel 2. I'm excited to see what she brings.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with DaCosta either. And I probably won't see Candyman because not that big of a scary movie person.
Because horror, right?
It will freak me out. But I really do like that they're getting a new director for this movie, because Captain Marvel 1, while it looked good, while there are parts of it that are really good, the plot of it's just so there. It's so generic.
Yeah, it's just kind of bland. Yeah, I agree.
Everything about the movie, while there are parts of it that's good, including Brie Larson, there's also parts of it, including Brie Larson, that's kind of bland. She does a very mixed performance in this movie, and I'm hoping Captain Marvel 2, the director, can get more out of her, and we can get more out of this character that I thought was actually pretty good in Endgame.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I feel like Captain Marvel is kind of mid-tier. Like, it's just fine. It's not great, but it's not like one of the worst MCU movies.
I know everybody loves
Doctor
Strange, but it reminds me in a way of Doctor Strange. And
I was actually about to say Doctor Strange too. I saw Doctor Strange and I was like, yeah, I mean, that was fine.
The thing about Doctor Strange I think people love so much about it is the ending and Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. So whereas Captain Marvel, you don't really have that as much. But I think when you look at the movies after the fact and you look at them, that's probably where I'd rank them. It's like the ones that aren't bad. They're not Thor: The Dark World. They're not Iron Man 2. But they're just not as good as the Endgames, the Infinity War, Civil War, Black Panther, Far From Home, any of those.
Right. Yeah, they're just kind of necessary to introduce the character. It sort of just feels like, well, we have to have this person, so let's just give them an origin story. Let's just get them in there. Hopefully Captain Marvel 2, you know, does something a bit more interesting with that character.
Do you think we're going to go into present day, or do you think we're just going to kind of try to flesh out her origin more?
I'm
the mid-90s, early 2000s.
God, I kind of hope not for that latter part. I think we got her origin. I think plenty of people know about her by now. It's fine. Would like to see what she was doing off planet after the snap. I think that would be more interesting because she's off, like, you know, seeing how other planets, because, you know, he killed half of the life in the universe, not just half the life on Earth.
Yeah, and she said other planets are suffering just like we are, and they don't have the Avengers or some kind of line like that, the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, they had to write a reason because having her would just be too overpowered.
Yeah.
I'd be more interested in seeing that, but also, they're going to introduce Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, soon, and she takes her name, or at least in the comics, she takes her name from Carol Danvers, as inspiration to be like her. So, you know, at the same time, you kind of need her a bit on Earth, too. So,
just hoping DaCosta is going to be like the Taika Waititi for the character, because I just feel like it got this character. Everything about it got off on the wrong foot. Endgame kind of showed to me, like, no, this character has potential. You just have to use the character correctly. Don't overpower. And don't, you know, write some boring lines.
Yeah.
And you can have a very successful franchise on your hands, just like Thor is now.
Exactly. Yeah, you just need an interesting creative type, you know, like Taika Waititi. Or like Ryan Coogler for Black Panther. Who understands, you know, what makes the character tick and, you know, takes that character in interesting directions. But we'll see. This is very far off from being in production, so we'll just have to wait and see. But we'll move on from that. Next little bit of news is that Tom Hanks is in talks to join Robert Zemeckis' live-action Pinocchio movie as Geppetto. This also comes from Deadline. And they said, although insiders say negotiations are very early, we hear that after reading the script, Hanks has reached out to Zemeckis to let him know he wants to do the film. So, the two of them have worked several times together in the past, first with Forrest Gump, where they both won Oscars. They worked again together on Castaway, and then the last time was The Polar Express. So they obviously enjoy working well they enjoy working together, and they work well together. So I would not be surprised if this happened. I forgot that there was a live-action Pinocchio movie happening until I looked through the show notes, though.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either. It seemed to me, though, like Tom Hanks had always been a part of this. I don't know, it just feels like this is something he would do.
Yeah.
So when I saw this, I was just like, huh, you would think he'd be the first thing even attached to this before a director or anything.
Yeah, that's what the Deadline article says, too. Disney has always longed for Hanks to play the woodcarver, having approached him years ago when Paul King was attached to direct.
Okay.
Obviously, that deal, you know, didn't happen. And now that there is a script and Tom Hanks has read it, he wants Robert Zemeckis to cast him.
Well, even aside from that, I'm just saying naturally, it kind of feels like right up his
alley.
He
just seems like he would fit in that role really well. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But a little bit
of casting, hopeful news.
I don't know. These live action movies of classic things, I feel like that's starting to get really played out too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to depend on Mulan.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Are you a fan of the Disney original Pinocchio movie?
Not really. I'm very picky about those original Disney movies. Like, I didn't like Dumbo. I didn't like Pinocchio. But I really liked The Lion King and all those others. So,
some of the more classic movies, like you mentioned, Dumbo and Pinocchio. Bambi's another one. Classic Disney movies are just so sad. Like,
yeah, Bambi was one I couldn't watch.
Obviously lots of Disney movies are sad, like The Lion King obviously has a sad moment in it, but it's just not so beat you over the head depressing the way the older Disney movies are, I think.
If you know, I wanted to watch Bambi, essentially, I could just go watch Marley and Me and get the same emotional impact.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because that's what it's going to do to me.
Yeah,
as soon as exactly I see what it's going to do. Spoilers.
Yeah, of course. Let's move on to our last bit of movie news, which is that Netflix is working on a Beyond Good and Evil movie. So even though we haven't had any news about the new game, we're getting news about a movie adaptation. So, per The Hollywood Reporter, Detective Pikachu's Rob Letterman will direct the live-action slash animated movie, I guess hybrid, with Ubisoft Film and Television's Jason Altman and Margaret Boykin. So, Taylor, what do you think of this? Have you played Beyond Good and Evil, first off, and did you see Detective Pikachu?
I have played a little bit of Beyond Good and Evil. I've seen all the trailers for Beyond Good and Evil 2. I kind of get a gist of what's going on, in a way. Right. I have not seen Detective Pikachu. I've heard great things. So this seems like a pretty good fit. I think the far more interesting thing here, Netflix is picking up some video game franchises.
They really are.
And more specifically, some Ubisoft franchises. And that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, that's true. I did see Detective Pikachu. I thought it was really cute and funny. Nothing deep, but I mean, you shouldn't expect that to be deep. But then I also looked up the other things that Rob Letterman has worked on. And he's kind of hit or miss. He directed the live-action Goosebumps, which is okay. But he also co-wrote and co-directed DreamWorks' Monsters vs. Aliens, which I think is pretty good. You know, hit or miss. But I think Detective Pikachu is pretty solid. I've played a little bit of Beyond Good and Evil as well, but I didn't get very deep into it, so I don't have like an attachment to it. Yeah,
I think the world is good enough for an adaptation for it to be compelling to a, you know, an audience.
Yeah, that's true.
If Splinter Cell is getting an animated series, I think Beyond Good and Evil will be fine.
Yeah, like, and
no, I'm not saying that as a dig at Splinter Cell, but Splinter Cell is a spy, you know, franchise. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
So seeing something that's kind of unique, I think that's good for Netflix.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting lore and world building that they can have with Beyond Good and Evil. And a lot more.
I was going to say one last tangent.
Yeah.
You, Rob Letterman's Detective Pikachu, I do find it very funny that. The past 20 years, we've heard people say, dude, Pokemon, a Pokemon movie would be so good. Who would have thought this would have been the first one? And how successful it would have been.
Yeah, surprisingly successful.
So the that's good news.
Second one is currently in development, too.
Yeah, so that's good news for Robert Letterman and this potential movie.
Yeah, exactly. Good for Rob Letterman. But we will move on from that. We actually do not have any TV news to go over today. But if you would like us, or if you would like to hear us talk about some TV, you can check out our spoiler talk on The Umbrella Academy Season 2, which we released. When did that go up, Taylor?
I believe it went up on Tuesday, which would be last Tuesday whenever they hear this.
Gotcha. Yeah, so you can go check that out. We both really, really loved Umbrella Academy Season 2. But if you would like to hear all of our discussions about it, all of the spoilers and things that we thought, definitely please go check that out. You can also check out Taylor's review up on the Nerd Stash.
Thank you so much for that.
You are welcome. But we'll move on to the end of the show. Taylor, what are you working on and where can people find you?
You can find me at Rambo Factor on Twitter. Sometimes say dumb things about movies, games, TV, whatever. I'm not really working on too much other than writing at the Nerd Stash and the occasional article over at modernwarzone.com. The only one I have up right now is from like a week ago. It's Why You Should Temper Your Expectations for Call of Duty 2020. You say you should check that out as well as the Nerd Stash.
Nice. I also haven't been working on anything big as I just moved into a new apartment this week. And if you've ever done that, you know, it's a huge pain and you only want to focus on that and get everything all fixed.
How much have you moved in?
Most of everything is moved in. Just a lot of stuff still in boxes, unfortunately. And then, you know, having to go to work and, you know, so that I can pay bills doesn't really let me focus on that.
Yeah.
But I will have a new Mojo Plays video going up next Friday on the 9 most brutal weapons in video games, so you can check that out. You can also find me on Twitter at @avatar_Johnny. But that is all the time we have for Nerds Talk Movies. Thank you, Taylor, for joining me and writing up the show notes. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Please check us out on Twitter at Nerdstash Show and subscribe to this podcast as we continue to grow. And from everyone here at the Nerdstash, stay safe and take care.